Alfred.
Alfred Starr.
Alfred Starr.
Okay.
David Tennant.
George, have you always lived in this area? Have you always lived in this area?
Yeah. I don't know before, long before that. I moved down here from Rampart in 1903, the year of 1903. I was a little boy then. And Mr. Prevost was here. He was running the mission up there. He was the priest there. And from there on, we left here all the way through. There was a post down here already, army post. A lot of soldiers then. There was four stores, four saloons, four restaurants. They never used to call it bars, but this is what they used to call it, saloons. So there were a lot of people. But long before that, they had Al Mio was the one that had the store, first store here. I don't know what year, could be 1900 or a couple years before. But when I was here, he wasn't there. He moved away already to Rampart.
How many people lived here then? How many people lived here then?
Oh, there was more people than it is now. That is native. And there's a lot of white people. The whole families, you know, they're here. And all the soldiers. Well, it could be, I could say around 2,000 people anyway, that I know for sure.
What was the main economy then?
Hmm?
Did people trap and trade, or?
Yes, that's all. They do trapping, mostly trapping and fishing. And that's how they, and they sell, when they kill a lot of moose in the fall, they sell all the hind quarters to the post down here. Sometimes they trade it off with the food. The army give them food, and that would they get a lot of grub with for it. I know that before. But long before that, they had mission down here. They used to call Ool Mission, this side of Tozi. That's where the village was. But I don't know nothing about that time. I wasn't there. I wasn't here yet. And that's when that Arthur, no. Yeah, Arthur Wright and Paul William, all of them was in the mission, learning. They go to school, they live in the mission. All my stepmother, a lot of women, they're at the mission. Mr. Prevost was teaching them. And that's when Arthur Wright and Paul, they went outside, went to school, Paul William. When he came back, he was a pretty smart man. And well, I don't know how much he learned, but I know he went through high school. And he used to come down here and make a speech on 4th July Day when they had big time down here. They put up $500 for the kids for the game. All the white people, you know. And they used to listen and look at him because he was real full-blooded Indian, dark. And they thought, I guess, where he learned all that. He used all high words. That's the first person I know, and Arthur Wright. And way before that, to maybe about 10 years before that time, Alfred Starr's father told me that there was little trading posts right where the gravel pit is, but they knocked that thing out. I used to see the foundation, it don't look to me like about 20 by, or 18 by 20, and that's the trading post he had. And they say all he had was in the store, leaf tobacco, gunpowder, sack of oats, that's rolled oats, and few shells, a muzzle loader, one gun, leaf tobacco. I said, yeah. And I forgot what else. That's all in that trading post for sale.
You used to have this old-time gun?
Yeah, old man Starr told me this, who was walking by there. So he's the first one that put up little trading post there, all right, for the native. But I forgot his name too, you know, nothing written down. So, afterwards, I don't know what happened to him. And then the army or the people moved into the village up here first, long before, I don't know how many years before, over 150 years ago, I guess. That's the main place where all the Taranak people, Taranak River Indian, way up Taranak Cross, come and meet each other, and up from Fort Yukon and down river, all in birch bark canoe and birch bark peter barlack, you know. And they paddle all the way from Taranak Cross all the way down to here and back again, they say, all the way for that leaf tobacco and few gunpowder to buy. What do you think of that?
That's how many miles is that?
I couldn't say how many miles is that. That's a long way.
That's
Taranak Cross. That's 200 miles above. Let's see, 200 miles above Fairbanks. I know that much. 100 miles above Big Delta.
How many days did that kind of trip take?
That we wouldn't know. I wouldn't know.
It takes a long time for these back
home. Take all summer.
Yeah, it take all summer, I think. Too far and too swift and all paddle work. No inboard, nothing them days, you know. And the first inboard engine I saw was the meal boat. What do you used to call it now? The first one, not the second Pelican. What the Pelican do you used to call it? Yeah. Pelican, I guess.
Pelican?
No, Pelican do you used to call it.
Uh-huh.
It's a short, white boat and a little cabin on top piled in.
Yeah.
But that belonged to Mission.
The name of it.
Yeah.
Mission,
mm-hmm.
Yes, huh?
That's first inboard engine. Then the mail boat. This is mission boat. And I don't know how many years, maybe 15 years afterwards.
Mission boat was Pelican.
Yeah. You got this. The native bought one too. Alfred Grant was the first one here. Not this Alfred, his father. He bought first inboard engine about, 6 horsepower, something like that.
Where was he living then?
Hmm?
Where was Alfred Grant living then?
This young fella?
Long before.
He was living right here in town. They live in town here, there's a lot of people. But us, all of us, up Mission Old Village, 2 miles up here, the old church is still standing up. That was built over 75 years ago, they claim. It's not all there, but the frame is up. Yeah.
So when did everyone start moving into Taranak or out of Taranak?
Oh, that was about how many years? How many years you come back from outside?
It's after 1898. That's what I was just thinking about.
Yeah, after 1898.
After, because I was born down at the old mission.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know, I still don't know where that old mission is. It's above...
Tozy.
About 30 miles, they said.
That's Alfred Star?
Yeah, my name's Alfred Star. I was born down there now. The missionaries was coming. I don't think they had anybody here then outside of that trader he's talking about.
Yeah.
And they call Al. He came about that time, I think. Sound like Al, that's what the old Indians call him.
Yeah, about that time. But you're right.
Arneo, huh?
Yeah, well, he's from Rampart. I don't know.
Harper was there too, you know.
Isn't
that Harper? Yeah. And Al Mayo, I guess, after that.
George, are you an Episcopal priest?
Right.
Yes. Could you tell us your background on becoming a priest? How you went to school?
No, I never went to school.
Uh-huh.
I just went to school one winter up in Nenano,
mm-hmm.
1910. I was there 1910, 1911, about a year and a half.
Was that at St. Matthew's Mission?
Yeah, the old building. I don't know, I forgot the name of it, but you might be right. Old log building, you know. It used to hold 47 kids in that one building. The kitchen on this side, upper part, was boys, and the girls on the other side. And that's when that deaconess, you see that cross across the Nina, a big concrete, that's old Deaconess. I forgot her name now.
Farthing.
Yeah, yeah, her name, it should be on that. Yeah. That's where she died while I was there. You see, the little girl got sick there that she really loved. One little girl, about 4 or 5 years old. And she think the world of that little girl, and she stayed, she got sick all at once, and there's no doctor. There's no town there. There was only one wood chopper, one storekeeper, Duke, Jimmy Duke, running the store at that time. So she don't know what to do. She stay up day and night. She got sick all at once on kind of this little girl herself. After she died, she dropped on the porch outdoor. And when we had one nurse and teachers, one of them run upstairs where the boys are, and she called my name, and Johnny John, it's a long time ago, I forgot his name, he called John too. So we run downstairs quick, and we run out in the fall, you know, dark. There she was laying on porch. So there was Deaconess and teacher and nurse, they helped us to carry her in. And she just went to sleep, can't do nothing with her. Pretty soon she stayed all day and all night. Next morning she died, early before morning. That's when we buried her up on that way on top of the hill. And Mr. Chrisley, that used to be a carpenter, built the mission buildings around there. He was there yet. So he's the one that built the cross, the frame for the concrete cross. So he got me out of school and I helped him up there, carrying gravel all the way up. We built it. So I didn't go to school much there too, because the old building was so cool. We had one old horse there. Oh, I used to run. We had a lot of fun with it. We used to run across Tanai River and go way up the river and haul green dry wood. They had a lot of dry wood up on the hillside. Hauled across, and then we had those 6 foot saw, you know, those longest saw. Four boys, two boys in one end, two boys, all of us sewing together like this. That's the way we keep that place warm. And they had my name above the boys, so I had to be there all the time. So I didn't go to school very long. I remember I was through halfway. I went halfway in what you call first grade. That's all. So when I come back to my mother, they were poor. 1911, I come back in the spring. They want me back home again. They didn't want to part with me, though. My uncle was awful sick. So this is the way I was all the way through.
How old are you now? How old are you now?
I'm 75, last fall, November 1st. So I'm going on 76, but I'm still 75. So how they pick me is, I think, you know, people watch you as you grow along and you live among them. And I try to help mission all the way through, all I can. Wood and kept the church warm all these years, fire. And I don't, I can't say I didn't miss church, because a lot of time I was too mischief yet, and I stayed out too late, and I missed out a lot of church or my service. Well, they followed that way back, and a lot of priests went by here, know me, that I was still working for the mission. And this is how they chose me to be, try to be a minister for this, my hometown, even as old as I am. And they asked me a long time ago, those people that went outside with family, they write in, how is George? I wonder if he likes to be a lay reader or a priest someday for his hometown. So finally, a couple of years ago, well, I decided to try. The reason why I don't like to go into it is I can't read good, and I can't pronounce right, and I can't speak English very well. And I say, when the priests all go away, I'll make a lot of mistake probably. Because I can pray in my own language, then I know I understand what I say, because I understand every language of ours. What you might call Thai words in our language. A lot of kids don't know those things. So I began to work as lay reader, and David started helping along. So then they asked me, are you ready to be deacon? Well, I said, I guess I make up my mind to take that now. So they ordained me as a deacon.